Today we're going to begin a series of looking at one of the New Testament books. We're going to look at the Epistle of the Hebrew Letters, the Hebrew Letter. This Epistle to the Hebrews is a unique book within the New Testament. In chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it begins as an essay and then continues as a sermon in chapter 2, 1 through 4, and then it ends as a letter in chapter 13, verses 23 and 25. The contents of this letter are deep and challenging, and a lot of Christians find it difficult to understand. Some compare its difficulty with the book of Revelation at times, but for Christians who are willing to take the time to read and reflect upon this book, they are reminded of how blessed they are to have trusted in Christ. And they are impressed with the superiority of Christ and His new covenant over Moses and the old covenant. And they are warned. They're warned of the danger of falling away, of apostasy, and the need for being steadfast in their faith. So with this lesson, as I said, I want to begin a series, just an overview, if you will, of the epistle to the Hebrews. And just as one should not begin a journey without some idea of where they're going, what we're going to do today is just a preview of what this letter is about, so that we can have an idea of where we're headed and what we might expect to find in this study. So let's begin by talking about the background to the epistle. The author really doesn't identify himself. Many believe it to be the Apostle Paul, and I happen to agree with that. Clement of Alexandria said that he thought it was Paul. This seems unlikely in view of the author's statement that this was confirmed to us by those who heard him, Hebrews 2 and verse 3. But Paul declared that he had not received the gospel from or through men, Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12. And yet there are arguments that favor Paul as the author. Robert Milligan, in his New Testament commentary on Hebrews, and other names have been proposed over the years, and I'm talking several years. Tertullian suggested that Barnabas was the author. Martin Luther suggested that Apollos was the author, and Harnack suggested that Priscilla was the author. In the end, we can only say with Origen, the historian, who wrote the epistle, to be sure, only God knows. And that's all we can say, is that God only knows who wrote this letter. But needless to say, it's in the inspired collection of the scriptures, so it's important for us to study. Now, who was it written to? The general consensus is that this letter was written to Jewish Christians, but there's an uncertainty as to where they and the author were at the time of the writing. Most believe the recipients were in Palestine and the author was in Rome. Others suggest the readers were in Rome and the author elsewhere, based on possible implication from chapter 13 and verse 24. In any case, they were Jewish Christians whom the author knew personally, according to chapter 10, verse 34, and chapter 13, and verse 19. The date of the writing. We know that it was prior to 96 AD because Clement of Rome quotes from Hebrews in his letter that was written at that time. And there are certainly strong implications that it was written prior to 70 AD. There's no mention of the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And the author writes as though priests were still offering sacrifices, according to chapter 8, verse 4, and chapter 10, and verse 11. But if the Jewish Christians were in Palestine, it was likely before or at the beginning of the Jewish Wars, which took place between 66 and 70 AD, in light of Hebrews 12 and verse 4. The time frame then would suggest 63 to 65 AD. Now, why was this letter written? It was written to prevent its readers from abandoning their faith in Christ, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It was written to encourage his Jewish brethren not to go back to the old law, And he does this by showing the superiority of Christ and his covenant, chapter 8. A key word found throughout the epistle is the word better. Like in chapter 1 and verse 4, Christ is better than the angels. Chapter 7 and verse 19, we enjoy the bringing in of a better hope. Chapter 7 and verse 22, Jesus has become the surety of a better covenant. In chapter 8 and verse 6, he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. In chapter 9 and verse 23, the heavenly things benefit from better sacrifices. So really, the purpose of this letter was to exhort, to encourage the readers, chapter 13 and verse 22. So now with the background of this letter understood, let's look at a brief survey of the book by noticing that it's divided into several sections. The first section of this letter is Hebrews chapter 1 through chapter 8 and verse 6. And it talks about Christ being superior. It says in chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 that he's better than the prophets and as a much better spokesman as well. He's better than the angels by virtue of his deity and his humanity. Again, chapter 1 beginning in verse 4 through chapter 2 and verse 18. The writer says that he's better than Moses, for he is the Son who provides a heavenly rest. Chapter 3 through chapter 4 and verse 13. And then he picks up in chapter 4 verse 16 through chapter 8 and talks about that he's better than Aaron, as his priesthood is a superior one. But then he talks about in the next division of this letter about the superiority of the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 through chapter 10. And he talks about that this new covenant is superior because it's based on better promises. Hebrews 8, 7 through 13. It's better because it's based upon a better sanctuary. Chapter 9 verses 1 through 28. And it's better because it's based upon, or it's superior because it's based upon a better sacrifice. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. And then we're encouraged to draw from this superiority, beginning in chapter 10 through chapter 13, to draw near to God and hold fast. Chapter 10, verses 19 through 39. And then in chapter 11, he begins with that great hall of fame about faith, beginning in verse 1. And then he goes through chapter 12 in verse 29 and talks about that we need to run the race of faith with endurance. And I fully believe he talks about all those that have gone before that he describes in chapter 11 and first two verses of chapter 12 as a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us to encourage us to run this race with endurance. And then he closes out the letter in chapter 13 with miscellaneous exhortations. But you know, there's a unique feature of this letter to the Hebrews, and that is the warnings that we see throughout the book. And as we conclude this introduction, maybe it's profitable to summarize these warnings. The key warnings in this lesson, in this letter rather, are found in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, about drifting away. He talks about that through neglect we can easily drift away. And the solution is to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. And he makes the comparison there in the first couple of verses that it's like having a bucket with a small hole in it, that we need to keep filling that bucket up in order to maintain a level of water. And that's us. We need to keep filling ourselves up with the Word of God so that we can maintain that wisdom and that knowledge and that faith that we need so that we don't drift away. A second warning is against departing, chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Departing through the deceitfulness of sin, we can become hardened and develop a lack of faith by which we can depart from the living God. The solution, he says, is to exhort one another daily and to remain steadfast. We all have to work on a daily basis to maintain our faith. It's not that we can study one day and lay off 6 days and then study again. You have to study every day. You have to pray every day to adhere to this warning against departure. Another warning is found in chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. The warning against disobedience. And he says, like Israel in the wilderness, we can fail to enter our rest through disobedience. There are a lot of people in this world, in the religious world, that teach that once you're saved, you're always saved. It doesn't matter what you may do. That once you have received salvation, you can never depart. But the Hebrew writer tells us that Israel did. They had the promise and they were on the way to their promised land. And they lost it. We too, after having received salvation and are on our way to our promised land, we can lose it through disobedience just as they did. So the solution is diligence and heeding, listening to the Word of God. There are so many more examples of these warnings about falling away throughout the New Testament and even in the Old Testament. Paul would tell us in Romans and 1 Corinthians to look back at Israel and learn so that we don't fall away the way that they did. Another warning is in Hebrews chapter 5 through chapter 6 and verse 6. And it's the warning against dullness. Dullness of hearing. Dullness of hearing can make it difficult for us to appreciate the extent of the blessings that we have in Christ. And even falling away to the point of crucifying the Son of God all over again. The solution to this, he says, is grasping the first principles of the oracles of God and then pressing on to spiritual maturity and perfection. Another warning is against despising Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 39. He said that it's possible to so despise God's grace as to no longer have a sacrifice for sins, but only a certain fearful expectation of judgment. The solution, he says, is to hold on unto our confidence in Christ and believe with endurance. And another warning is against defying, Hebrews 12. It is possible to refuse to listen to the one who now speaks from heaven. The solution to that is to look diligently to the grace of God, receiving it in such a way so that we may serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. What a wonderful book. What a challenging book. With such warnings, this book is really a word of exhortation. Chapter 13, verse 22. And as we go through this book in the coming lessons, it's my intent to remind you of how blessed we are to have put our trust in Christ, to impress upon you the superiority of Christ and His new covenant, the New Testament, over Moses and the Old Covenant, and to warn us all of the real danger of apostasy, of falling away and losing our salvation, and the need to remain steadfast in our faith. Now, my job's going to be easy if I am faithful in letting the book speak for itself, and that's my hope and my prayer. I hope that you will tune in the weeks to come over this as we study the book of Hebrews. I hope that you will get much out of it. I hope that if you've studied it recently, it will bring to mind, memory, the things that you've studied. If you haven't studied it in a while, that it will refresh your memory and your knowledge of what you have studied. If you have any questions about this book, this lesson that we're going to be embarking upon, feel free to contact me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. You can listen to this lesson again at the church's website. That's churchateastside.com. I want to thank you for being with me this morning.